Hello, everyone. We are so glad that you decided to join us today for our online service. We're going to get right into the message here in a moment. But first, we want to give a shout out to our first class of the Indy School of Leadership. Our inaugural year just ended last week. And we are so excited for 14 students that started with us in our partnership with North Central University. And so we wanted to give you a chance to hear from them.
We stepped into this year with no idea what to expect.
All we knew for sure was that we were launching something great.
Anxiety began to be replaced with excitement, and so it began.
We were all challenged.
Online classes.
Staying in contact with professors and advisors by email, text, phone calls.
While managing deadlines.
Before we realized it, those 8-week sessions quickly turned into
4 weeks to midterms.
And it was a lot.
Our professors and advisors became coaches.
And classmates turned into family.
With our focus on God,
we rose to the occasion
and succeeded together.
While COVID-19 threw us a curveball,
we made adjustments.
And we finished strong because that's
what leaders do.
Indy School of Leadership with North Central University.
Leadership is rising.
If you or anyone you know is interested in learning more about being part of the Indy School of Leadership, go to our website, indyschoolofleadership.org, where you can find out more information. We're very excited about the second year of our school. Now, remember, next week is Mother's Day, and we're going to celebrate all ladies next Sunday as part of our service. We've got some creative elements that are going to be part of the service. But just like our annual tradition, we have a special gift for every lady 18 years of age and over. And of course, this time you're going to have to come get it. So Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. here at the church, if you'll come, we'll be here to celebrate with you and say Happy Mother's Day and then give you a gift. But it's limited to the first 300 people who come. So remember, it starts at noon. So now to the all-important question that everyone wants to know the answer to is, when are we going to be having church in public gatherings? And the answer is, I don't know. We still don't know. And so we're following directives from the government and trying to do our best to make plans going forward. Every pastor that I know is wrestling with these same questions. I'm having multiple conversations with other pastors and different leaders, just trying to figure this out. It's no small thing to consider having public services with social distancing in place. But we do want you to know that we won't start public services until we can be sure that we do so in a safe manner. I do think we are several weeks away from that. And so we thank you for your flexibility. And until then, we're going to continue online and just continue to broaden our audience and reach even more people. So we encourage you to continue to join with us online. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to go to the book of Luke, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 5. We're going to press pause on our series on the book of Hebrews just for 1 week, and we'll pick that back up next week. But today, I want to talk to you a message from Luke chapter 5 about prayer and fasting. And the reason is because these next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we as a church are coming together to fast and to pray. So would you join us? Would you join me in praying and fasting these next 3 days? Earlier this year, actually late last year, God spoke to us about setting aside time to fast and pray in year 2020. And we're believing for victory in 2020. And so we began the year with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then we added the element, because we've done 21 days of prayer and fasting every year for many years. But then we added 3 days per month. And so I want to encourage you, as we continue to do this, would you join with us? And remember that fasting is abstaining from food for a spiritual purpose. So join with us in some way, but let's fast and let's pray these next 3 days. And the fast will end following our first Wednesday service, which this week is online at 7 o'clock. We have a special guest that's going to join us online. Dr. Alan Tennyson is a professor at North Central University. He was a pastor in Los Angeles for 15 years. You might recognize his last name because he's the son of Martha Tennyson, an evangelist who has spoken at our church many times. And of course, you've heard their stories of tragedy. And so Dr. Tennyson has an incredible message about theology behind a pandemic. You're going to love it. So I want you to encourage you to join with us this Wednesday for our first Wednesday service. So let's get into Luke chapter 5, because today, the message that I think God wants us to hear is a phrase that we've heard a lot in the last few weeks. And honestly, I've heard it so much, I don't like it. But as I began to prepare for this service, this was the phrase that really captures the spirit of what I think God wants to say to us today. Today, I want to talk to you about a new normal. We're going to start in Luke chapter 5, verse 33. So the religious teachers, they come to Jesus, and they said to him, John's disciples and those of the Pharisees frequently fast and pray, but yours keep on eating and drinking. So Jesus replied, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and then they will fast. Now, I want you to notice here that in these scriptures that Jesus equates fasting with the presence of God. In essence, Jesus is saying, hey, the Pharisees are saying, Jesus, why don't your disciples fast? And Jesus is saying, because I'm here. You know, I'm right here with them. He says, but there'll be a day when I leave, and then my disciples are going to fast. What I think Jesus is saying here is that fasting with prayer attracts the presence of God. It draws the presence of God. Jesus is saying, if I'm here among you, then you don't need to fast. And when I'm with you again, you don't need to fast. Now, that's good news for us, because that means when we get to heaven, Jesus is there forever. There will be no more fasting. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Everybody said, amen. You see, I think there's something about choosing to be physically hungry that makes me spiritually hungry. And when I'm spiritually hungry and I draw near to God, the Bible says he draws near to me. And I hope you've seen so far in 2020, of course, we're facing things that most of us have never faced before. But I think most of us can testify that there is a stronger sense of the presence of God in our lives, in our church, hopefully in our homes. And so the context of this conversation that Jesus is having here in Luke chapter 5 is fasting and prayer. And so he goes on to illustrate it with this parable. Jesus says, no one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and sews it on an old one. If he does, he'll tear the new garment as well, and the patch from the new will not match the old. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. You see the word new and old there a lot. If he does, Jesus says, the new wine will burst the skins. The wine will spill and the wineskins will be ruined. Instead, new wine is poured into new wineskins. Now, a little bit of backstory here. When in Jesus' time, before wine bottles were invented, when wine was made, they would put it into the skins of an animal called a wineskin. Think about it as like a leather pouch. And when they put the wine in, the new wine, remember the wine expands as it ferments. And so the skin that is new, this new wineskin, would be able to expand as the wine would expand to accommodate the new wine. But of course, over time, the leather, the skin would get old. It would begin to dry out. It would begin to crack. And so Jesus is saying, you can't put new wine into an old wineskin because as it grows, as it expands, it will burst open the old wineskin. Now remember, he's illustrating fasting here. And I think what Jesus is trying to say to us is that when we fast and pray, it renews us. It makes things new. Now think about it. When I physically fast and abstain from food for a period of time, it actually renews my body. According to the University of California, if you fast, drinking only water for 3 days, your entire immune system has been renewed. One article I read reported that fasting is, quote, flipping a regenerative switch in our body. And I think what fasting does for us physically, it also does for us spiritually. It renews us. It makes us new. It prepares us for something new. And of course, that's the big idea I want to communicate to you today, and that is fasting and prayer prepares us for a new normal. Why are we fasting and praying? Why are we seeking the Lord? Because our lives were going this way, and Jesus wants us to go this way. We were on this trajectory, and Jesus wants to change us, to prepare us for something new, something good from him. Now, of course, we all want normal. We need some amount of normalcy in our lives, right? We need to go back to work. We need to have the normal schedule of having a job and an income. And of course, we need our kids to go back to school. And all the parents said amen, right? We need graduations. We want to celebrate the people who are graduating high school and college. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing that here, celebrating all of our graduates. And of course, some of us need baseball. I am a Reds fan. And for the first time in years, they have a chance to win their division. So we need baseball back and get back to normal. And I think there's a lot of areas of our life that we need to get back to normal. But aren't there some areas of our life that the last thing we need to do is return to normal? Because normal for some of us is a half-hearted, apathetic, lukewarm relationship with God. Normal for some is addicted to alcohol and pornography and social media and screens. Normal for some is living in spiritual isolation and allowing the enemy to have his way in our minds. Normal for some of us is getting involved in unholy conversations, which results in broken relationships. Normal for some of us is spending all of our money and having no margin. And now we're learning how important it is to have some margin. See, normal for some of us is that Jesus is part of our lives, but he's not the most important part of our life. He's somewhere third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, but he's not first in our time. He's not first in our schedule. He's not first in our finances. See, I think normal for some of us is just meandering through life, letting life happen to us instead of finding our purpose and making a difference with our lives. See, I think we need a new normal in 2020. I think we need victory in our lives. We need victory in our homes. We need victory in our church, in our community, and our country. We need a new wineskin to receive new wine. And I think that's what God is doing in all of us. He is making us into new wineskins so that we can be prepared to receive the new wine in 2020. That's why we fast. That's why we pray. Let me remind you that God directed us to do this long before this crisis began. He wants a new normal in all of our lives. And so let's consider this as an opportunity to reset to these new things that God wants to do in all of us. So here's the question. What is the new normal, Pastor? What does that look like? Well, let's answer the question from the Bible. So let's go back to the story. Jesus tells the parable about new wine and new wineskins. He fulfills the rest of his life here on the earth. He's arrested, he's crucified. 3 days later, he's resurrected. He spends 40 days on the earth with his disciples. And then in Acts chapter 1, remember, he's standing on the mount there and then he just disappears. He gives the Great Commission and then he leaves. And so the disciples are there without Jesus for the first time in several years. Now, what did they decide to do? Isn't it interesting? The Bible says they went back to Jerusalem and they went to the upper room, and for 10 days, they did something that they had not done before. They fasted and they prayed. I think that's interesting. About 120 of them shut themselves in the upper room to fast and pray and seek the Lord. You see, I think they must have remembered what Jesus said back here in the book of Luke. When the bridegroom is taken away, then they'll fast. Jesus had left them, so they decided to fast and pray. What happened as a result? In Acts chapter 2, the Bible says that at the end of those 10 days, that on the day of Pentecost, God poured out his Spirit in amazing ways, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. They all began to speak with new tongues, and there was this incredible outpouring on the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the new normal was Pentecost. The new normal was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And then after this initial outpouring, people are asking questions. What's going on? What does this mean? I think they're drunk. I don't even know what they're doing. And so Peter stands up in Acts chapter 2, and he explains the new normal. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, let's take this just sentence by sentence, statement by statement of what Peter meant when he said, this is what's going on. The first thing that Peter said was, he's quoting the Bible. He's quoting a prophecy from Joel. He says, God says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. See, what Peter is explaining to the people who are gathered on the day of Pentecost, he's saying, hey guys, what you see is normal. What we've just experienced is normal. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. You see, I think the new normal is that we are Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered, Spirit-anointed people. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's normal to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's normal to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Pentecost is normal. And I think if there's one thing that this pandemic has taught us is that we need the power of God. We need the Holy Spirit because all of hell has released fear and anxiety and worry and panic into our midst. And we need God's Spirit to come against us, to come against those things. So in these next 3 days of fasting and prayer, let me encourage you to pray that God would pour out his Spirit on your life, either for the first time or for the first time in a long time. That just like on the day of Pentecost, that we would experience the new normal of being filled with the Spirit. Peter goes on to say, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, first, I want you to see that he says sons and daughters. And I think that's important because the new normal is for us to think of ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God. That we don't do things out of religious duty. We don't do things just to have religious activity, but we do what we do because we have a Father who loves us. His name is Abba, Father. And it's a very personal, very real relationship in our lives. And I understand that as a son or a daughter of God, that God says to me that I am his beloved son and that he loves me and in him I'm well pleased. You see, I think God wants us to know him personally, not to know about him, but to know him personally, that he's not just the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the God of Wayne Murray. He's the God of Francis on the other side of this camera. He's the God of Michael on the other side of this camera. He's your God. Sons and daughters will prophesy. You see, I think when we begin to see ourselves as sons and daughters and not slaves, our words will change. He says we'll begin to prophesy. And that word prophesy is interesting because the definition is using one's voice for the service and glory of God under the direction and initiation of the Holy Spirit. See, God wants us to use our voice to encourage, to build, to speak life, to speak hope, to speak peace, not to tear down, not to criticize, not to mock or speak death. Speak life. That's the new normal that God wants for all of us. Let's pray then there's 3 days that God will give us a new revelation of what it means to be a son and daughter of the Most High God, and that we will speak life in Jesus' name. Peter goes on to say that your old men will dream dreams. Let me speak to those of you that are older, because the enemy wants you so bad to live in fear. He wants you to be paralyzed by this pandemic. He wants you to think there's nothing that you can do. There's no way that you can make a difference. But I want to point out that you are part of this prophecy. He says old men will dream dreams. I think far too often we've been guilty in the church of asking the older generation to step aside so that the next generation can have their way. But I want to say to every older person listening to this message, we need your voice. We need your dreams. We need your vision, and this generation needs it. So would you ask God for new dreams for you? Ask God for new dreams for your family, for your kids, and for your grandkids, and then begin to speak life to them. Prophesy to your family. Call them to serve the Lord. Call them to repentance. Call them to fulfill the dreams that God has put in their hearts. Amen. Peter says, your young men will see visions. I heard somebody say that sight is what you see with your eyes open, but vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. See, this new normal is for the younger people in the audience as well. See, what God is saying is that you have a vision. You have a purpose for your life. You're not an accident. You're not just here to take up space and to fill up time. You have a purpose. And I think some of you in this time, God is helping you find your purpose. Your purpose is being born right now. Some of you have answers to people's problems. And because you're younger, you see things differently. You have a different perspective. And I want to remind you that God gave Joseph a vision when he was 17 that he would be the leader of Egypt. And it took a while, but God brought it to pass. God gave Esther a vision of leading her nation from extinction. She was a teenager, and God can do something great in your life. He can give you vision for your future, because where other people see trouble, or other people see a crisis, you're going to see an opportunity. So may God give you vision and dreams for the future. Peter says, and on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Both men and women are part of this prophecy. I think God is saying in this year, this new normal, is godly men, full of faith, full of passion, serving Jesus, men of courage, men of purity, men of power, not passive men who just let the enemy run rampant in their homes and in their families, but men who will say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, I think the new normal is men who will raise up as prophets in their home and begin to speak life over their kids, over their grandkids, because the Bible says that you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you men to fight for your families, fight for your homes, fight for your future, fight for your city, fight for the church, fight for Jesus Christ in this new normal. But he also says both men and women. See, I think the new normal is a revival of women as well. Women who are not bound by fear or anxiety or timidity, but women of faith and boldness and courage. Moms who are filled with faith, raising kids full of faith, prophesying to their kids that you are the generation that will usher in the return of Jesus Christ. Women who will reject the culture that pits men against women and women against men. You're not going to take that bait. It's not either or. We need both men and women full of the Holy Spirit. Because, young lady, you have a place in this world. You have a place in the church. You have a place in the end time, that God is raising up Esthers full of the Spirit of God for such a time as this to fulfill your destiny. May it be so. And then he says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. You see, I think the new normal that God wants for us is the supernatural, that the supernatural being normal in our lives. I asked on Facebook, in our church's Facebook group, what's God saying to you? What is God teaching you through this crisis? There were many answers, but I love what Tony Frost said. Tony's one of our elders at our church, and here's what he wrote. He said, we're a spirit-filled church, and we need to embrace that even more. This world needs to see and feel the spirit and power of God more today than ever. Signs need to follow us as believers. I need to be more filled with the Holy Ghost than ever. Victory 2020. And everybody said amen. Let's pray in these next 3 days that God will confirm his word with signs and wonders and fill us with the supernatural. And here's what Peter says. He's summing up this prophecy from Joel. He says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I think what God wants the new normal to be is more people getting saved than ever before. More people coming to Jesus than ever before. The new normal is eyes being opened to the truth and blinders being taken away from people's hearts and their eyes. And there will be an awakening in the hearts and lives of people who are far from God. See, I think the new normal is you and me and every one of us having boldness to speak up for Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our family members, to everyone we know that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, I think the new normal is the powerful presence of God in us, around us, through us, upon us, surrounding us, strengthening us, empowering us to be the light of Jesus in a dark world that desperately needs to see him, experience his power. You see, I think that's the new normal. And I think that's what God wants for us. They ask Jesus, why do your disciples not fast and pray? Jesus said, because I'm with them. He said, but there's going to be a day when I'm going to leave. And then they're going to need to fast and pray. They fasted and they prayed. And God poured out his spirit. Why are we fasting and praying during 2020? Why are we fasting and praying these next 3 days? Because I don't want to be an old wineskin. I want to be a new wineskin. I want the new wine of God's Spirit to be poured into my life and into my family and into my home and into this church. And I know you do too. I know you know that that's what we need. And so let's pray through what Peter said there in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to use this as your prayer model or your prayer guide during these next 3 days. So wherever you're at, wherever you're sitting, wherever you're watching this, would you join with me as we pray through this? Let's make this our prayer. Amen. He says, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. God, we pray that you would pour out your spirit, first of all, in me. God, I pray you fill me with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and pray that right now. God, I pray you fill me with the Holy Spirit. Just like the day of Pentecost, God, I pray I'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I pray that you would fill me every part with your spirit and with your power. Anoint me, God. Fill my household with the Holy Spirit. Fill this church with the Holy Spirit, God. May we be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. God, we pray that we would no longer think like slaves, but God, we begin to think like sons and daughters of the Most High God, recognizing that you are Abba, Father. And God, we pray that the words that come out of our mouth will be words of life. Let them be words of healing. Let them be words of power. God, we pray that you forgive us for words that break people down or degrade or destroy. And God, instead, let us prophesy words of life and healing through the name of Jesus Christ. And God, we pray for the young. God, we pray that they'll have a vision for their life. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you begin to birth purpose into young men and young women, into students, God. I pray that you begin to call them out like Joseph and like Joshua and like Esther. God, we just pray in Jesus' name that you would begin to birth vision. You said in your word that without vision, people perish. So God, I pray for this generation to raise up. I pray for every student. I pray for every young man, every young woman. God, let birth vision into their spirit. Let it burn in their hearts, God. In Jesus' name, give them vision for the future. And God, you said that old men will dream dreams. I pray for every elderly person, every older person. God, I pray that you would give them courage to dream new dreams. I pray, God, that you begin to birth new pictures in their mind of what's possible. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that whoever is paralyzed by fear, that would be broken off of their lives. And God, that they wouldn't look to the past, they'd look to the future, the God of the future, the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to birth new dreams into their spirit, God, in Jesus' name. God, we pray for a revival of both men and women. I pray for every man that's watching this. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you give them freedom. I pray you give them victory in their lives. And we pray, Lord God, you'd make us men of faith. Make us men of courage. Make us men who are full of the Spirit of God. And we pray, Lord God, that you'd raise up a generation of men, Lord God, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who will fight as conquerors through Jesus Christ. And God, I pray for every lady who's watching today. God, I pray that the Spirit of heaven would begin to be poured out upon every daughter, every woman, every lady. In Jesus' name, I pray that you'd break off the spirit of the age and God infuse with them an anointing, oh God, that will change everything, that will change homes and relationships and change futures and destinies, God, through the power of your Spirit. And God, you said you're going to show wonders and signs. So God, I pray for the supernatural to be natural in my life. Come on, pray that way. I pray, I invite the gifts of the Spirit to be an operation in my life. God, help me to lay hands on the sick and let them recover. God, I pray that you'd help me to prophesy life, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God, to show up in my life for the sake of people who need to see you, who need to hear your voice, who need to experience the power of God. Let it be, Father. And God, we pray because everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Father, we're praying for a harvest. Come on, pray for everybody, every lost person you know right now. God, we're praying that 2020 will be a year of harvest. Let it be an awakening. Let there be an awakening through all of this, God, that people will begin to recognize that this life is not all there is. But there is hope through Jesus Christ, and that they can look to the cross, they can look to the Savior and be saved. God, we're praying for household salvation of everyone that's watching this right now. We're believing for our family members to come to Jesus. We're asking God to draw our neighbors to Jesus, draw our coworkers to Jesus. God, let there be an awakening in this city, in this country, in this world, God. Pour out your Spirit so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Amen. And of course, that scripture can be fulfilled right now. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. Right where you're sitting, right where you're watching, you can be saved. See, there's a reason it's called being saved. There's a reason why the Bible calls it being saved. You're saved from something. You're saved from darkness. You're saved from destruction. You're saved from hell. That's what Jesus did when he died on the cross. He reached down and wants to rescue you from yourself, from your sin, if you'll let him. And all you got to do is reach up a hand and say, yes, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. You're my only hope, my only salvation. If you're watching right now and things aren't right between you and God, and you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, you can decide right now. You can make up your mind right now that to surrender your heart and life to Jesus, and your new normal will be as a follower of Jesus Christ. If that's you and you mean business with God and you know you need to make it right with God, would you bow your head right now and pray this prayer? Everyone who's watching this, I want us to virtually pray this prayer out loud together. Say, dear God, I need Jesus. I need to be saved. I want to be saved. So I put my faith and trust in the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ to save my eternal soul. From this day forward, I repent. I'm turning around. I'm following you. Holy Spirit, come live inside me. Empower me. Anoint me. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. If you mean business with God and you're serious about following Jesus, maybe you have questions about what it means to follow the Lord, let me encourage you to send us an email. There's also a connection card online that you can fill out and let us know that you've decided to become a follower of Jesus. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make. Now, let me back up for a second. And one more time, let me encourage everybody to join with us these next 3 days to fast and to pray. And I want you to pray using Acts chapter 2 as your guide. And so you can download that at info.graceassembly.org. Exactly what we just prayed through, you can download that. You can use it on your phone. You can print it out on a piece of paper. But every day in these next 3 days, I want you to pray through what we just prayed through. And let's believe God that 2020 is going to be a year of new wineskins, renewal, renewing us, renewing our families, renewing our relationships, renewing everything. And that the reason God's renewing us, because he's going to pour in the new wine. And that new wine is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. I believe it today. And I want to encourage you, let's pray, let's fast, let's seek the Lord, and let's believe God that through all of this, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all of us. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We just want you to know how much we love you. We continue to pray for you. You're in our hearts. And even though we may be separated physically, we are not separated spiritually. God is drawing us even closer together, I believe. And I think in these next 3 days, we're all going to feel closer together than ever before. So thank you so much for joining us. And if God's done something good in your life, answered a prayer, let us know about it. Drop a comment in the comments below. Send us an email. We want to hear what God's saying, what God's doing in your life. So until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in Jesus' name. Go with God. We love you very much.